We're starting here on the top of Nun Vavam and Aleph with the Mishnah. The Mishnah is now going to address the trefot of the oaf. We discussed the behema, the animal, until now. Now we're going to move over to the fowl. It's interesting, Rashi points out, the afagav the chol trefot de behema kinegdan ba'of. Even though we know, and we're going to see a statement like that in the Gemara, that all the trefot that apply by behema also apply by an oaf. So why do we need a separate enumeration or a separate list of trefot by the oaf? So Rashi says, Hanu, it's tricholei the mitne. These we need to write, because each one of them has an additional chiddush by the oaf. Most of the chiddush is the fact that the oaf only requires one siman to be cut in order to be nishkat, and therefore we call its life force is less than that of a behema. And in addition, it's just a much smaller animal, so maybe the trefot would be more chamor. And that's why we have all the examples here. We'll explain them as we go along, why there's a chiddush. First one is nukuvata veshet. Is a puncture, a hole in the esophagus, very similar to behema. Sugata gargaret. Sugata gargaret is the throat, the trachea. Again, just like by the behema, when you cut through it or slice through it, it has to be rov chalala or rov hekefa when you slice through it. Now, chasera, if it's missing or it's somehow a piece of the trachea is out, if you remember back on the Gemara on the memhei, there we said that it can't be ki'isar for an oaf, that would just be too big for an oaf. So how do we test it there? You carve out the location where the holes or the punctures are in the trachea, and then you measure it against the circumference of the trachea and see if it reaches over to the rove. So that's how you test it, as opposed to an isar that's by behema. So the chiddush here is dual. One chiddush is the fact that by the gargaret, it's not just a mashu, not a single puncture. Even though by an oaf, one siman or shkitav, one siman is sufficient, nevertheless, the gargaret still has, the trachea still has the same dinim as the behema. That requires rove and not just a mashu. The second chiddush is that even if it has something missing from it, the gargaret doesn't get measured like a behema. Behema gets measured by nisar. Over here we measure it by carving it out, the holes along with the surrounding trachea, and we place it inside the circumference of the trachea and see if it fills up the rove. And then again we saw in the Gemara back on Memhei. Now, hikta chulda al rosha. It was attacked by a weasel on its head. Makom shose ota trefa. In a place that it makes it into a trefa, place that it'll make it into a trefa is it's able to puncture through the membrane around the brain. So here again, the chiddush is not just any time it's hit, but it has to be in a location where it would have affected the brain. Just because the etzem, the skull, has been broken, doesn't mean that the oaf is automatically a trefa. Nikev hakurkuban, if the gizzard was punctured, nikvu adakim, the intestines were punctured, naflalaor, if the bird fell into a fire, the nech miru bnei mea, and its innards were scorched. Imirukim, if they are green, probably call it a greenish yellow psulim, then they're problematic. Imadumim, if they remain red, then they are ksherim. The Gemara will discuss which organs we're talking about. Darsa, if it was attacked, clawed, vitarfa bakotel, was smashed against the wall, osheritza behema, or was crushed under an animal, umifarkeset, and it's still moving, it still has movement, the bird, and it lasts another 24 hours, which is the indication that it's not a trefa, it's not life-threatening. Then it's ksheira. As Rashi points out here, we'll see this in the Gemara, that still requires a bedika. Even though it's lasted for 24 hours, there's still a requirement of a bedika. As far as these last trefot that are mentioned here, a lot of the chiddush will come actually in this next Mishnah, which is that they are ksheirot. That even though this is a smaller animal, and even though we would think that maybe even the smallest problem should cause an issue, nevertheless, we're going to see in the next Mishnah that they're still ksherot. So here, the chidushim are not in this Mishnah, but rather in the reflecting or contrasting Mishnah that we're going to see at the second half of the daf today. Now, Rav Shmuel v'Levi de'amrei. So you have Rav, Shmuel, and Levi all saying, Machnis yado lifnim, uvodik im mevatzveit v'ola trefa v'imlav kshera. How do we check if the bird is attacked by a chulda or had its head smashed somehow, and we want to check whether the membrane around the brain is still intact? Even if the skull is broken or the bone is broken, that's not what we're worried about. We're worried about a puncture into the membrane of the brain. How do I do that? So the suggestion here by the three Amoraim is that you stick your finger into the mouth, the beak of the bird, and then you press on the upper palate. If you press on the upper palate, it's going to put pressure on the brain. And if there's a hole in the membrane surrounding the brain, then it will leak out or come out, push out, and then you'll know there's a problem. Gemara says, Anicha demanda amar, that works well according to one Adminakev Karma Tata. That works well according to the one we saw again on Memhei, where there was a machloket, when it came to the puncturing of the membranes around the brain, whether you needed to have both of them punctured in order for it to be a trefa, or only one of them punctured to be a trefa. So according to one who says you need both of them, then this makes sense. to ad minakev karmatata until the lower membrane's also punctured. Therefore, we know there's a clear hole through, and if you put pressure on it, it'll come out. Levandamar in kivilo, that in when the outer membrane is punctured, alpha gavdalin kiv tata, but the inner membrane is not punctured, that's still a trefa. Then over here, what's the solution to go push on the upper palate? The brain's not going to come out. There's still a membrane around it. So dilma yilo inkev, tata lo inkev, because maybe the outer membrane has been punctured, but the inner membrane is still intact. Or it says, im ita de inkev, ilo, tata, agav ruchve mifka poka. If the outer membrane has already been punctured, the inner membrane is much thinner, and the pressure of pressing up on the palate will cause it to burst or break, and it will come out anyway. So if there is any hole there, whether it's a hole that goes all the way through, or a hole just through the outer membrane, then by putting the pressure underneath it, we will still see the liquid or the brain pressing out of that hole, and we'll know that it's a trefa. Amar Ziri, ein bidika d'chuda. There's no way to check an attack of a weasel, mipnei shishishineha dakot, because its teeth are very narrow, very thin. Since its teeth are so narrow or thin, it's going to make a puncture in the membrane of the brain that we won't be able to detect. Mahavi. Gemara says, okay, what's the big deal? The tests that we have can capture that. So Amravoshia, he redefined it. Problem is not simply that they're very narrow, thin teeth, but rather that they're also curved. And since they are curved, the hole that's inside, whether it's in the outer membrane and the inner membrane, or the hole that goes through the skull and then into the membranes, are not going to be lined up properly. And therefore, if you put pressure from underneath, it may not be that you'll see the liquid of the brain come out, because of the fact that it's not a straight puncture all the way through. Kiselik Narada, when Ziri went to Naharda, Shalach Lahu, he sent back to them, Dvarim Shamartu Livnechem Tahu Tein Beyadi. That which I said before, there's no check for Chuda, that is actually incorrect. Baram Kach Amru Mishmei to Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. This is what they say over here in the name of Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. Botkin the Chuda Biyad. That you can check it by hand. That's what we were doing before. You can check it by hand. Avalo b'masmer, but don't use a nail to check it. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, af b'masmer. You can even use a nail to check it. So Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish says that you have to check it by looking at it by hand, either by putting pressure on the upper palate and seeing if it comes out, or looking over the membrane with your hand. Rabbi Yochanan suggests that you can even use a nail. You run a nail, the sharpest of a nail, over the membrane, and you see if it catches. If it catches, you know there's a hole there. If it doesn't catch, then it's fine. This is similar to a machloket between Rabbi Nehemiah and Rabbi Yehuda. According to Rashi, it seems that it's the exact same machloket. According to Tosafot, we'll see in a second that he thinks that Rabbi Yochanan doesn't hold like either of them. Doesn't hold like Rabbi Yehuda or Rabbi Nehemiah, because there's a different utensil that's used here. Chad badik biyada. One of them said that you can only check by hand. V'chad badik b'machto. One of them used a needle. So the distinction between needle and nail, Rashi seems to think that there is no difference and that they're actually lining up their positions. Whereas Tosfot says over here, plukta lav davka, the Rabbi Yochanan damar b'maf masmer, lok Rabbi Yehuda v'lok Rabbi Nechemia. Because it's a lav davka. Rabbi Yochanan himself, who says a nail is not really like either of these opinions, seems to be from Tosafot that a nail is different than a needle. And we'll see in a second what might be the issue. Manda badik biyodo, the one who only checked by hand, amar le'e manda badik machto, he said the one who checked with the needle, ad matayta mechle momanam shel Yisrael. How long are you going to go along wasting the money of Bnei Yisrael? What are you afraid of? We're afraid that if you run the needle over the membrane, you're actually going to cause a puncture. So you're not going to find a puncture. You're actually going to cause a puncture because you're taking something very sharp over a thin membrane, and by moving it over the membrane, you may actually cause the puncture. So here you're causing trefot that really don't exist. So you're going to cause Bnei Yisrael to throw out the animals that are otherwise kasher. So Malay man the bodik b'machto, the one who used the needle to check, the man the bodik b'yodo, one who checked by hand, amataita machkelis on the velot. How long is it going to be before while you feed Bnei Yisrael on the velot? I mean that you're not checking properly. By checking by hand, you're not going to capture everything. I check by needle, I'll know everything. You're going to let some trefot go, and now you're going to feed people nevelot. Now that's what Gemara asks. What do you mean nevelot? We're talking about trefot over here. Nevelot vashchutahi. There was shchitahi. Ela trefot, meaning trefot. Shema nikeva krum shomach, because maybe there was a puncture in the membrane and we don't find it because you're just doing it by hand. Had you used a needle, you would have found that problem and you would not have let the trefa go. That's interesting. We're going to see in a second. The Gemara says, this time the Rabbi Yehuda who, the bodik biyodo. Yehuda is the one that says that checked by hand. So if he's the one who says to check by hand, then why over here do we worry about it being called a nevela? Because actually, Rabbi Yehuda believes there is no such thing as a treifa by a bird. Everything is a nevela by a bird. That is shkita is not mitaher, the bird, to be a treifa instead of a nevela. So according to Rabbi Yehuda l'shita tot, the statement by Rabbi Nechemia that you're going to cause Bnei Yisrael to eat nevelot was actually true. So Tosfot says that it wasn't right according to Rabbi Nechemia. And according to Rabbi Nechemia, it still should be called a treifa. He shouldn't have gone so far to call it a nevela. He should have just said it, that it's a treifa. And it just seems to be an extreme form of expression, even though Rabbi Yehuda's shita is that way. The Gemara says, how do I can prove to you that Rabbi Yehuda is the one or the opinion that Bodik B'Yehuda? The Tanya. You check a weasel's attack on a fowl on a bird by hand. Don't use a nail. If the skull was broken, even though the membrane was not punctured, then it's problematic. So that is a conclusion about Rabbi Yehuda. Now the second statement that we just read through quickly, which is the broken skull, the Gemara is going to address right now. But at least from the perspective of checking by hand, we see that Rabbi Yehuda is the author of such an opinion, as opposed to Rabbi Nechemia. So now the Gemara says about that, ha, gufa kasha. What do you mean? How can we conclude anything here? It's the internal stira in that breita that you just brought. Amart, in the Tosefta, bodkim l'chul dabiyad, you're going to do a hand check, of a lobe masper, but not with a nail. Alma, it lehu b'dikuta. It sounds like you can check it. V'hadar tani, and then the latter half of the Tosefta says, nishbar etzev, the skull's broken, even though the membrane around the brain is not punctured, then you can't check it. We assume if the skull is broken, there's something wrong, and we don't allow you to check it. When it says, the latter half of the bright of the Tosefta is talking about waterfowl. Because waterfowl, since they have no membrane, when it says, what do you mean, ain't lo krum? Of course they have a membrane around the brain. Since the membrane is much softer in the waterfowl, therefore, once the skull is broken, we automatically assume that the membrane around the brain has been punctured without any checking. We don't go check it because it's just too likely, or it's too high a percentage that it would have been broken. Rav Nachman to Rav Hanan, Mar Amar Shmuel Bodik B'Yada. Rav Nachman says to Rav Hanan, you told us that Shmuel used to check by hand, Umachshir. V'Huna Chavrin, and our friend Rav Huna tells us, Amar Rav Bodik B'Yada, Umachshir. The Rav checked by hand and was Machshir. And it makes sense, because we had above Rav Shmuel Levi, they started out the sugya here, and the ones who told us that you, how do you check the bird? And they told us by sticking your finger into the upper palate and pushing it up. So we know that's the case. So that's what the Gemara Tosfos would ask. Well, we know that already. So he says, even though we have the memrot from Rav and Shmuel, over here we have a maisa. And we'd rather have a maisa, because then we know that they actually acted on their psak, on their statement, and therefore it's maase lahora. And we know that's how they held, and that's what they did. Gemara says, wait, how could it be this way? V'hatani Levi. Now Levi, the question they're asking on is on Rav and Shmuel. Now Rav and Shmuel are checking the membrane of the brain by hand, and now they bring a memra from Levi. Truthfully, they could ask the question on Levi himself, because Levi's also one of the Bali memra that started out the sugya. So it could be asking on Levi, but they're also asking on Rav and Shmuel. Treifo shemanu chachamim bebeima. Treifo that are enumerated by the beima, kinegdan ba'of, are similar in the oaf, and this is what we quoted from Rashi on the Mishnah. The beima and oaf have the same treifo. Yeter alehem. In addition to that, the birds or fowl have nishbara etzem, av bishol nikev krum shomoach. If the skull was broken, even though the membrane was not punctured. So you see here, what do you mean you're checking? If the skull's broken and there even is no puncture, we don't allow it to go through. So it seems like there is no checking over here. So my answer is, like we did before, that's talking about waterfowl. You're mixing up fowl in general with waterfowl. Waterfowl, true. If the skull's broken, it's over because of the thin membrane that is around the brain. Whereas, when we're talking about the landfowl, over there, you have to do a check to see if the membrane was actually punctured. Gemara says, Ho'ova ain lo krum. That applies by the waterfowl because they have no membrane around their brain. Ain lo krum, zagadatcha. Again, might mean they have no membrane. Elo ho'ova krum orach. It has a very soft membrane. Hai tarnagola dehavai be rav chano. They had this chicken that was in the house of Rav Chano. Shadu le kamei de Rav Matno. They sent the Rav Matno to see what the din was. Nishbar etzem veloni kev krum shomach. It was a case where the skull was broken or cracked, but the membrane had not been punctured. Avai v'achshara, and he made it kosher. Amalei, so he said to him, how did you do that? V'atani levi treifo, shemanu chachamim be'ema, kenegdam ba'of. Right, anything that was by be'ema is a treifo by of. Yeter alem, of nishbar etzem, av bishon ikev krum shomach. And in addition to that, when the skull's broken without a puncture in the membrane, that's also problematic by an oaf. So Amalei, otam ba'of shomayim. That's applicable by the waterfowl, hov ein lo krum, because it has no membrane around the brain. Ein lo krum sakadatcha. What do you mean it has no membrane? Ela ema hov krum arach, because its membrane is very soft. So again, we have seen here three times over the same din, which is that you can check the membrane around the brain of a fowl if the skull had been broken. But there's one exception to that rule, and that's the waterfowl. With the waterfowl, once the skull is broken, we automatically assume there's a problem with the membrane because the membrane is very soft. Since it's very soft, we don't either trust ourselves to check it, or we assume that automatically it's been punctured and there's no reason to check it. Rav Shimshi Badik B'Shimsha. Rav Shimshi used to check the membrane around the brain in the sun. He used to hold it up to the light and see if there were any holes there, because the light, the very bright light of the sun, was able to give him a clear view of the membrane and see if there were any punctures in it. Rav Yemar Badik B'Mayo. Meir checked with water. It's interesting here that we have a similar, these memorials were brought actually by the knife, the chaluf, that was used by the shochet, how they checked it. One individual checked it to see if there were any nicks in the knife through the sun. One checked through water. And then we're going to again have, the last one was bitsipore, and over here we're going to have with straw. But here Rashi defines bimaya differently. Over there with water, they were running water, drips of water down the knife to see if there were any nicks. Over here, they have two, Rashi brings down two interpretations of what it means to check with the water. Either they take out the brain from down below. They cut from below the brain stem. They take out the brain, and then they refill the membrane that held the brain with water. And they see if any of the water drips out. If the water drips out, we know there were punctures in the brain or the membrane around the brain. The other possibility of checking is that we pour water into the hole that went through the skull or the crack in the skull. And then water will come out, exit. If the water that's exiting is still clear like the water that went in, we know it's fine. If the water that exits also has white material in it, then we know that it's punctured through the brain, and some of the brain material, or the brain fluid, is now coming out with it, and that's why we're seeing this white residue in the water. Is that what it means to be Badik B'Mayo? Vachar B'Yakov was Badik B'Gila D'Chitita. He checked with straw of wheat. The wheat straw, that's how he checked it. Similar to what we did with the masmer, with the nail or the machtor, the needle, he would run it over the membrane to see if it caught at any point. Amar Rav Shizvi, and this is going to be a big chumrah, Hane Avze Didon, Ayor Geese, Ke'ov Shamayim Damyan. They have a din like waterfowl. Since they spend most of their time in the water, therefore they're going to be, their din will be like waterfowl. And therefore, if we find them with a cracked skull, they're automatically a trefa. We don't do any bidika because we assume that the kruma moach was punctured because of the softness of kruma moach. And now the Gemara moves up to the next line in the Mishnah, which is Nafla Le'or. It fell into the fire and it was scorched. The innards of the bird were scorched. So now the Gemara wants to know, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Yeshua ben Yossi ben Yoshua, Shi'ur Yirukatan Kishi'ur Nikuvatam. How much green do you need for it to be a trefa? The answer to that question is the same as it would be if it was punctured. Well, how much is it punctured? Ma Nikuvatam b'mashu. Just like any puncture would be problematic when it comes to the intestines, Av Yirukatan b'mashu, so too when it comes to the green discoloring of the intestines, a mashahu will be sufficient in order to make it into a trefa. So, Bamine Rav Yossi Braid Rav Yeshua ben Levi, Mir Rav Yeshua ben Levi, Harika Kaved. What happens if the liver turned greenish or yellow? Keneged Bnei Me'ayim. In the area where it faces the intestines, Mahu. So, Amalei Trefa. That's for sure a trefa. So, where it says, V'lo Yael Nitla. Why is that any worse than it being missing? We know that if the Kaved was taken, we read that in the Mishnayot by the Behemot, that if the liver was taken out entirely and either a mashu was left or a kazait is left, then it's fine. So over here, so fine, you got some green on a portion of the liver. Just look at it as if it's not there, and it should be kasher. So Amarova, Kevin Shoriku Kaveh Kenegib Bin Mayim, since the area where it's turned green is opposite the intestines or part of the digestive system, be Adush Nafalo or we know for certain it fell into a fire in Nechmru Binema Ayim Bitarfa or Trefa. So then we know, for instance, that it singed or scorched the innards of the intestines, and therefore it's for sure a trefa. So we're talking about the liver. The liver has a portion of it which sits below the intestines, another portion sticks out, which is not negative the intestines. So true, if the other part of the kaveh, the liver, was green, and we could look at it as if it's gone, that would not be problematic, because the kaveh that's missing is not problematic. It's the area of the kaveh, the liver, that's against the intestines. We know, therefore, that there was some problem that happened here. And since there is some circumstantial evidence that the problem probably affected the intestines because the area of the liver that is green or discolored is against the intestines or the digestive system, therefore we worry about it and make it into a trefa. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, he had his chicken that he had a problem. Shadre the kamed, Rabbi Lazar HaKapar Beribi. He sent it to the Godol Ador, Rabbi Lazar HaKapar. Amalai, Yerukim Havu V'Akshro. He says it's green, it's kosher. Oh my goodness. Our mission says explicitly the other way around. Green is problematic. So the answer is, lo amru yirukim psulim elibar kurkaban, Belev or Bekaved, there are only three things that if they turn green are problematic because they're supposed to be white or reddish. And that is the Korkoban, the gizzard, the lave, the heart, or Kaved, the liver. So these three organs, if they turn green, then they are problematic. But other organs that are supposed to be green, then that's not the case. Tanyanami Ochi. Be'elu b'nei ma'ayim amru. Which internal organs are we talking about? The Korkoban, the gizzard, the lave, the heart, the Kaved, the liver. So what's interesting here is what the Gemara defines as b'nei ma'ayim. We saw this machloket between Rashi and Tosafot about what the definition of b'nei me'ayim are. We saw this on Friday's daf, that b'nei me'ayim could either be just the digestive tract or digestive system, or b'nei me'ayim could be the entire internal organs, including the heart and the liver. And over here, you see the Gemara is calling b'nei me'ayim, is speaking about even the other organs besides the digestive system. Tosafot, to answer that problem, says that depends in whose language. In the language of the Amoraim, it's true that B'nai Ma'ayim include more of the internal organs. Whereas according to the Tanaim, the word B'nai Ma'ayim is only used for the digestive tract or the digestive organs. And that's how he differentiates between what we see here in the Gemara versus what we saw two daf ago with regards to the B'nai Ma'ayim. So Tanya, Nami Hochi, we have a bright that's posted. B'nai Ma'ayim Amru B'Korkoban B'Lei B'Kabed Rabbi Yitzchak Yosef Havalei Ha'u Tarnagola. Yisrael Yosef had a chicken. Shadu lekamei de Rabbi Yibo. Barmalei adumim avu v'treifa. They're red and it's a treifa. Oh, what is our Mishnah? No, it's not. Our Mishnah says adumim kshirim. The red organs are considered to be kasher. Samalei explains. Adumim shoriku. V'yirokim sheedimu. If you have organs that are normally red that turned green, or organs that are normally green, sheedimu that turned red, treifa. Meaning that they have to keep their normal color. If there's discoloration, then we worry about it. Lo amru adumim kshirim. We only say that the red organs are kasher, belev, bekorkoban, bekaved, heart, gizzard, and the liver. Because those items, if they turn green, are problematic. That means that their natural state is red. But that means things like the intestines, which their natural state is of a greenish, yellowish color, then if they turn red, then they are problematic. So Amar Rav Shmuel Bar Chiya, Amar Rav Yemani, adumim, shehoriku. If you have organs that were red, and they now became discolored, green, vishalkan, and then you boil them, bechazru ve'edimu, and then they went back, and then they turned back to their original red color, ksherim, then they're fine. My taimo, what's the reason for this? Kutra ailbahu. They were just smoked. The smoke got in there. It wasn't that they were actually singed and they turned green. It was just the effects of the smoke around the organ that caused it to discolor. But once you've boiled it, you see that the smoke has gone away, and the original coloring of the organ returned, and therefore it's not a treifa. The discoloration has to be a permanent discoloration, otherwise it's not going to be a treifa. So Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Rav Hanan Nemar, we have a very similar thing. Adumim Shaloho Riku. If you have organs that are normally red, and they are red, and now you go ahead and Vishalkan and you boil them, Voriku, now they turn green, Trefa. They are a Trefa, my time, Iglai Ba'atayu. They revealed their true colors, meaning that their busha, their shame is coming out. I mean, they really singed. For some reason, their outer layer remained red or didn't become discolored, but the internal layers are. And as soon as you boil it, it comes out that their discoloration is still there. So he's saying that it's a two-way street. When you boil it out, if the coloring goes back to the original state, that's true, it's a kshira. But the other way is also true. If it becomes discolored, then it's also problematic. So Amar Rav Ashi, hichach lo luchol in she'el b'shilka. Do not eat the bird until you boiled its innards, because then you can see whether it's really a treifa or not. Velohi, and that's not true. And this is a principle that we've seen many times, Rashi's mentioned it, that we are not machzik reyuta, problems. We assume that rov behemot and rov animals, what we see is clear and true, and that they're not treifot. We don't go to try to discover whether something's a treifa. If it's a common occurrence, then we have to be worried about it. That's why we check the lungs. The lungs are an area where there's commonly problems, and therefore we have to check the lungs. But other organs where there aren't commonly problems there, then we say, don't check them unless you have evidence or some circumstantial evidence that there's actually a problem. Then we'll have to check those organs. But without that, we're not going to try to force the situation or discover problems. We're not looking to make things more difficult or make them worse. Now we're into the last part of the Mishnah, which is Darsa v'tarfa v'kotel. No matter what the circumstance was, we mentioned this in the Mishnah and Rashi mentioned it, that whatever happened here, and even though the animal lives for 24 hours, which should make it not a treifa, because we see that it's able to live, nevertheless, they require a bedika over here, because we're talking about a bird. So a bird, which is something that is a lighter form of animal, Here, where we had some trauma to the bird, we require the bedika in order to see if something happened beyond just the banging into the wall or being crushed under the behemah. Now that it's living, maybe there's something that we can't see, and there is some sort of trefot that are inside there, therefore we have to check it. Now here comes the contrasting Mishnah, which is Ve'eluk Sherot Bov. Just like we had trefot Bov, now we have Sherot Bov. The first couple would not be Chidushim, because that's just the reverse or the opposite of what we saw before in the previous Mishnah. Whereas the second part of the Mishnah we said before is the Chidush when it comes to Ov, which is Ve'eluk Sherot Bov, Nikva Gargaret, if the trachea was punctured, or Nistika, or it had a cut through it here, which is a vertical cut where the pressure of the pull of the trachea from the top to bottom will keep it sealed. If it attacked it and it hit it in the skull in a location where it will not be able to penetrate the brain or the membrane, over there it's not a trefa. So that's the chiddush here. The chiddush of this side is that if the chuda attacks it and punctures it or grabs it in a place where it cannot puncture the membrane of the brain, then we don't worry about it. Nikev azefek, if the crop was punctured, then it's also kshira. Rabbi Omer, I feel like you can even have the crop gone entirely. If the crop's taken out entirely, it's still kshira. Yetzu b'nei'a, if the bird's innards fell out, velo nikvu, but they were not punctured, it's still a kshira. This is again a chiddush over here. That's why we need all the intestines that we mentioned in the trefa side. Is for this side, if they fall out, even though, again, this is a light animal, as long as they're not punctured, they're fine. Nishtabru gafea, if its wings are broken, or nishtabru raglel, or its legs are broken, and Rashi points out over here, when we're talking about the broken leg, we're talking either minar kovo lamata, or afilu lamala, but yetzah etzem chutz. It's whether it's below the knee, or even above the knee, but the bone has not been exposed or come out. All of these are not considered to be a trefa. Nimrutu kanafea, if its feathers were plucked. Now here, when we're talking about feathers, when we're going nimrutu kanafea, kanafea are the large feathers, the hardened feathers that have really the quill on the inside of the feather already. Those are large ones. So if those are all taken off, then it's still a ksheira. And then the Rabbi Yehuda Omer, im netzla notza. Notza are the down feathers, the feathers that yet to have the hardening of the center of the feather, the quill. And if those are taken off, then it's a psula, because that's the lower layer, the soft layer. If those are taken out, according to Rabbi Yehuda, they are considered to be a psula. Tarabanan. Maseh b'Rabbi Simai, b'Rabbi Tzadok. This is case with Rabbi Simai and Tzadok, shahalchu la'aber hashana b'lod. They were going to sit together with the chachamim of the door in order to determine whether they should make it into a leap year or not. B'shavtu b'ono. On the way there, it was Shabbos, and they stopped in Ono for Shabbos. B'horu b'tarpachat k'Rebbe b'zefek. So they have this cryptic or ambiguous statement that is that they gave a psak halacha by the tarpachat, which is the womb, k'Rebbe b'zefek, like Rebbe says about the crop. So now the Gemara has the girsa that we have is a girsa of Rashi. We'll read that, and I'll then tell you the girsa of Tosafot. Girsa of Rashi is Yibailuhu. Horu b'tarpachat l'yisura. Their ambiguous statement means this. They said by the womb that it's a sur. K'Rebbe b'zefek le'teira. Just like Rebbe says by the zefek that it's mutar, they said by the tarpachat it's asur, but basically what they're saying is, by the womb, it's problematic, whereas by the zefek, like Rebbe, it's mutar. So Rebbe's right that if you take out the zefek entirely, it's fine, whereas if you take out the womb entirely, that is problematic. That's one possibility of the statement. Oh, dilma horu b'tarpachat le'teira k'Rebbe b'zefek. No, this is what they were doing. They were comparing to Rebbe zefek to say, they say the womb that is taken out entirely is like Rebbe says by the Zefik, that it's good. So not that they were saying that Rebbe's Allah is right, about Rebbe Zefik, lo svirlo, but they don't paskin like Rebbe at all. They're just saying like, you know, where Rebbe says that when the whole crop's gone, it's good? That's what we say by the womb. The womb's gone entirely, then it's fine. What about the crop? When it comes to the crop, we don't paskin like Rebbe. We're just telling you as a comparison to the womb, but for the crop itself, we don't believe that. Teiku. Gemara leaves that as an unresolved question. Tosafot has an alternative girsa because he says, how come the Gemara didn't ask over here, what's the possibility that they paskined over here the hetera on both of them? Why can't it be over here that they paskined that the tarpachat was taken is the heter, like Rebbe Bezefik, which is the heter? Why can't they both be the heter? What happened to that permutation? And Tosafot says, based on the Gemara and Sanhedrin, it seems to make a lot more sense that that's the case, that they both should be the heter. Why is that permutation missing? Therefore, Tosafot says that the girsa should be this. V'nir de garsiram besfarim hocha. Horu b'tarpachat the hetera. Ukerebi zevek le'etera. That both of them the hetera. Oh, that the one question or the ambiguity of their statement was either interpreted this way. They paskin in a womb that's taken away, that it's mutar, just like Rebbe paskins by a zevek that it's mutar, meaning that both of them are mutar when they're taken away. Odilma. The comparison to Rebbe by Zefek wasn't to say that Rebbe is right, but rather to tell you, when the womb is taken out, the way that Rebbe speaks about the crop, then it's a Tera. But they don't hold like him. Now it makes sense. There is no permutation about the womb being Leisur. Everybody agrees that by when the womb being taken entirely, that it's Mutar. We saw this earlier in the Gemara as well, that when the womb is totally removed in the previous Mishnah by the Behema, that it's Mutar. So Tosa says that permutation wasn't necessary in terms of figuring out whether it was the Surah, because that permutation doesn't exist. Since that permutation doesn't exist, there are only two questions, whether they said Heter and Heter by both of them, or they said Heter by the womb, but not by the Zefek. And that's how Tosa solved the problem, as opposed to Rashi, who reads that the Girsa we have in our Gemara, is that it was question about Isura or Heter by the womb. The whole question revolved around the womb. And if you said it was Isur by the womb, then they were passing like Rebbe Leteira when it came to the crop. So now the Gemara now continues. Amar Rabba, V'item Rabbi Shu ben Levi, Gagoshel Zefek, Nidon Keveshet. The roof of the crop has a din like the esophagus. Heicha, where's the roof of the crop? Amar Rabbi Bibi Barabaye, Koshinim Tachimo. Anything that is pulled with it. Now Rashi explains that this means that the crop, which sits below, it's a capturing pouch below the esophagus. As the esophagus is a very narrow channel, as it gets to the crop, the esophagus starts to widen out. It starts to widen out until it comes to that pouch down below. So now, as a koshin mimtachimo means that the veshet, anything by the veshet, as it begins to narrow, when the crop begins to narrow and turn back into the esophagus on the both ends, both before it and after it, that part will be included as part of the esophagus. So when we're talking about here, we're talking about the ends of the crop. The two ends of the crop that are attached to the esophagus in the beginning and the end, those areas, that's what we're talking about, as they narrow back from the crop into the esophagus, those will always have a din of esophagus, which means any puncture. A single puncture will make it into a psula, as opposed to what we have here in our Mishnah, which is the crop, if it's punctured, is not problematic. But they'll be done like the esophagus. The other possibility, which is brought down by the Rishonei Ashkenaz, like the Rav Yoh, the Mordechai, and the Ran, I think, quotes it as well from the Riva, that the Riva says, what koshinim tachimo is not referring to the crop. The crop is a pouch that sits below the esophagus. If you were to flatten out the crop, basically slice it off, and make an imaginary line of the esophagus continuing, you could have. The pipe of the esophagus could have just continued straight along. Instead, it has, like, on the underneath, or its underbelly, it has this pouch that comes down below the esophagus. So what it's saying over here is that the upper level, the upper wall of the esophagus that runs above the crop has a din like the esophagus itself. That area that would have just been the continuation of the esophagus without the crop, that area has a din like the esophagus. The pouch below, that is considered the crop and has a din like a crop. As opposed to Rashi, not talking about the ends, it's actually talking about the whole strip across the top of the crop, which would have been the equivalent of the continuation of the esophagus, that has a din like the esophagus. That's the way the Riva learns. Right now, Yotsu b'nei me'ah, if its innards fell out, we said over here in our mission that it's kasher as long as they had lo nikvu, as long as they were not punctured. I'm Rabbi Shmuel bar Rabbi Yitzchok, lo shanu elish lo efach ben. That's only true if they were not flipped over. That when they were replaced or put back into the bird, they were not placed in the wrong way. I mean that the down wasn't up and the up wasn't down, they remained in their position. Ben, if they got twisted or turned over, trefa, because it says, Hu ascha, Hashem made you, v'chonenecha, and he established you, malameid, shabar ha-kadosh baruch hu, koniyot v'adam, that in man, and the same will be true with animal, that there's an order, there's a basis, their basis, certain things have to sit below other items, and they support those organs that are above it, and if you get them in the wrong order, you twist them around, there's going to be a problem, and there will be a trefa, if any one of them changes, the organs are in a different order, and they're not sitting properly, or not situated properly, then the person is a treifun. Same thing here by the bird. Tanya, Ayer Rabbi Meir Omer, Hu Ascha B'Chonenecha, so once we already have this pasuk, we're going to dash on it. Shem made you, and he established you. Kracha D'Kula Bei. Bnei Yisrael are, we'll call it a city, but really a nation that has everything in it. Mimenu Kohanav, they produce their own Kohanim. Mimenu Neviav, it has their own prophets. Mimenu Sarav, they produce their own rulers. Mimenu Machav, they produce their ministers, their kings, their governors. Everything comes from Tintoch Bnei Yisrael. They're a complete nation. Shneamar, because it says, Mimenu Pina, from him, from amongst us, meaning amongst Bnei Yisrael, Pina comes the cornerstone. Mimenu Yateid, the state comes, meaning that everything is found. Everything that we need for leading or leadership of Bnei Yisrael is found within Bnei Yisrael. We don't have to bring outsiders in to do any of this. How Arma, there was this non-Jew, the Chazila Ugavra, saw this individual, the Nafal Miglo Aro, he had fallen off the roof to the ground, and Pake Karse, he burst his stomach, his abdomen had burst open, the Nafal Mayne, and his intestines had come out. So now he was afraid to push the intestines back in and stitch them up because he was afraid he would put them back in the wrong way. If he puts them back in the wrong way, then the person's going to die because it's going to be a treifa, and he's going to die. So they didn't want to touch him. So what did he do? After the bray, he brought the son of this individual who already had fallen off the roof. He's laying there on the floor, wounded. He brings his son over to him, b'shachtei kameh, and he shechs him. He kills the son, but he didn't literally kill him. B'achizatei naim. He used an optical illusion to do this. He's an optical illusion of shechting his son. So this poor fellow who's laying on the floor with his belly burst open, seeing this non-Jew kill his son. And he can't handle it. Ingid, he faints. Vidnach, and he sighs, he groans. And that caused oil de mane, that caused his innards to be pulled back in. Bechaita de karse. And then he stitched him back up. So he played this trick on him. He did this optical illusion in order to cause him to suck back in his innards, to cause his innards to be drawn back in so he wouldn't have to do it by hand and maybe put them in the wrong place. If it happens in the natural course, they would go back to the position they were in before, and then he could stitch him up, and he could be healed and not be a treifa. Okay, we'll stop over here.